Has God revealed to you anything that is coming or changing within the body of Christ, or have you seen anything in your travels?
When people ask that question, man, I know what they're looking for, the answers, but I'm a simple guy with this. He's really teaching us who he is. You might not understand this, but when you travel, see the emotion? There's emotion in me like you have no idea. That question's got me like, ah. When you travel, you realize there's some universal thoughts that we've been trained by out there that are very deceptive and destructive, even about God and his nature. I'll tell you what God's doing. God's teaching us who he is through the cross and through the gospel. And he's getting some straight thinking in us and some straight paths before us. God, I believe, is revolutionizing our understanding of him. And he's raising up an army. He's raising up people of no nonsense, of surrender. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to love not my own life. I'm going to lay down my life and follow Jesus. I'm not going to sing to him. I'm going to follow him. I mean, they'll sing to him. But what I'm saying is that's not my relationship, going and doing a worship service. I'm not called to just sing to him. I'm called to follow him. Jesus didn't say sing to me and attend church. He said follow me. The reason we gather is to stir ourselves up in love and good works. What I see happening is God revolutionizing our understanding of him and why God even sent his son. I've learned in the last couple years, few years, that the church at large hasn't had a strong answer to why God sent his son. And that should be, that's the heart of the gospel. Most Christians say, well, to forgive our sins so we can go to heaven. That's the only understanding out there. Because that's all we've taught. God sent his son to forgive our sins so we could go to heaven. No, God sent his son to fulfill what man failed, to get us back on track, restore destiny, so we can fulfill purpose. So we can let the old die and the new live, so our lives can be changed, not secured. Are you guys following me? Come on. Unless you deny yourself. He didn't say unless you pray a prayer to get your name in a book called life. He said unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. See, if you don't deny yourself, you'll never pick up your cross. What's pick up my cross? It means taxi through every unfairness, every event, and every circumstance of life without letting it change you, letting him change you, and you face everything through who you've become in him. Never letting sin against you give the right for sin in you, always overcoming evil with good. That's carrying your cross. Never becoming a product of life, but becoming a product of the life that's inside of you. That's carrying your cross. And if you're carrying your cross, guess what you're doing? You're following him. You guys with me? So that's what I see God doing hugely. I do see this amazing grace that if people are sincere enough to believe God loves them and forgives them and they'll lay their hands on the sick, I'm seeing God heal like never before through people that never even knew it was possible. People that have been in the church a long time and have got confused and complex and even chips on their shoulder and hurt by past losses and stuff. And I see some of those folks struggling more than they need to. And I see people just getting saved, a little starry-eyed, looks little birdies in nests. And they're like, I can pray for the sick. Yeah, go ahead. Oh! And then people just getting healed. Like fun stuff. Like really fun stuff. I was just in a church and this person had never prayed for the sick and they laid their hand on the tumor and it disappeared right under their hand. It freaked them both out. They were crying as much as the person that lost the tumor because God did that through me. Yeah, he created you to live through you and flow through you. Keep praying for the sick. So what's going to happen if she goes to work someday and somebody's at the lunch table and says, boy, I'm so concerned. I've got this thing growing on my neck and I don't know what it is. Well, first she might get tempted to get a little nervous and, oh, I don't know what to think. But her heart will be thumping, I guarantee you that. She's going to remember what happened. And it's, sooner or later, she's probably going to say, can I share something? Next thing you know, she's going to have her fingers on that thing. I like that. Amen. So I'm seeing that too. I'm seeing God stir up a simplicity in people, a childlikeness, and they're not so heady. And all the teachings we've been pummeled by are seemingly, and you know what? God just loves people. And the more people I pray for, the more things I'm going to see. I'm just done fighting over it. I'm going to love the world. Meaning love the people of the world, not the things of the world. You get it? So please just get yourself involved. Step out. Pray for folks, man. We had a guy in a meeting. I don't know if John remembers this. It was way back when we were in the school on Thursday night. This guy came and he got so rocked and it was all new to him. And he went to work and he was talking to his good buddy. And his buddy was telling him how bad his back was. And he's hearing me and Todd preach this stuff over and over that night. And then he saw things happen in the room and he was like, what? And he said, listen, man, I don't know what you're going to think of this, but I was in this meeting. He said, you were where? And this guy's kind of dogging him a little for being in a Jesus meeting. They were just friends. And he's like, what are you doing? Man, I got some things in my heart. He's searching, right? He says, well, what I'm trying to say is these guys said that we have the privilege and the right that God birthed us for this, to believe him and to believe he'll do good things and get ourselves well. Here's what I'm trying to say, man. Let me pray for your back. He said, you want to pray for my back? He said, yeah. So he prays for his back. And the guy's like, okay, whatever. And he says, well, listen, these guys, when they pray for folks, they said, check it out, Ben, just do something. And the guy's going, what? Are you kidding? What? And he says, the guy that prayed, no way. Doesn't it hurt? Are you telling me it don't hurt? Do you remember the testimony? And the guy's like, he said, you're playing with me. You're just messing. No, it's going. And the guy that prayed,
the powerful man of faith.
No, he was just humbly, sincerely stepping out with the little bit he understood. And God said, way to go. We've been so technical and self-conscious when we pray, we've gotten in the way. Let's close with this one on that. Your prayer never, ever heals or will heal anyone. It's his finished work that does that. And you believing his love for people through Jesus. The fact that we get self-conscious when we pray for the sick and try to pray right and pray better proves that we don't understand the grace of God in healing. We're trying to produce something that's already there. So this guy says to his friend, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. You're healed. So when the guy got healed, he was more shocked that it actually happened, but had enough humility to step out and at least position himself for it. But when it happened, he was freaked out. So he couldn't have had what we call Bible faith, but he sure had humility and he sure went for what his heart was convicted in. Let's start that simple and be like children. What do you say? Amen.